track. Well, I don't agree. I want a woman just as tacky as me. Yeah, I like my women just a little on the trashy side. Yeah, I like my women just a little on the trashy side. When they wear their clothes too tight and their hair is dyed.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Kentucky prosecutors announcing they are dropping criminal charges against top golfer Scottie Scheffler, stemming from an incident with a police officer ahead of the PGA Championship in Louisville. Jefferson County Attorney Mike O'Connell asking a judge to drop charges, including assault of a police officer with a vehicle, saying the evidence does not support moving forward with the case. The jury in the hush money trial of Donald Trump continuing deliberations this afternoon. ABC's John Santucci says jurors have a lot of evidence to consider from the five-week trial.
Jurors have questions at times, so we could have a moment where, you know, there's a lot of activity down at court, but it could just be a question from the jury, how to interpret the law, if they have a question on a piece of evidence, how they should look at it. So a lot of that process is going to be playing out.
Residents in Texas could be dealing with power outages for days after severe storms this week knocked out electricity. Severe storms are threatening the Rockies and the Upper Plains today. This is ABC News. A new study from the National Institutes of Health may have hopeful of the future for food allergies. ABC's Sony Salzman explains.
What this study found is that people who fed their children peanut products regularly or consistently from infancy up to age 5, those kids, by the time they were adolescents, had a 71% less chance that they would develop a peanut allergy, that they would have a peanut allergy by the time they were teenagers.
Parents should consult their doctors. The community of Youngstown, Ohio, left reeling after yesterday's explosion inside a building that injured 7 and killed 1. Rom Flaviano was working nearby.
All I could think of was 9/11 with the smoke and the dust and everything, just on a much smaller scale. It was just glass, smoke, paper, and all kinds of stuff just coming right out of the building.
The cause still unknown. Nissan issuing a do not drive warning for around 84,000 older vehicles due to an increased risk of explosions from the airbags. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. Challenge to the 2011 law that stopped most public sector unions from collective bargaining got a hearing in Dane County Court Tuesday. Attorneys for the Republican legislature argue exempting police and fire unions from Act 10 is a matter of public safety.
The concern is, you know, public safety in a very particular way. That is, if the group strikes, there's going to be a big problem for the state of Wisconsin.
Attorneys for a teachers group challenging Act 10 say its Republican authors wanted to punish unions that campaigned against then-Governor Scott Walker. It's likely that the lawsuit will eventually make its way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where liberal justices hold a 5-3 majority. A Milwaukee man enters a guilty plea in the death of a transgender woman.
33-year-old Clayton Hubbard was charged with first-degree reckless homicide in the fatal shooting of 35-year-old Regina Maya Allen in September 2022. Court records show Hubbard reached a plea agreement with prosecutors to avoid trial, which was scheduled to begin on Tuesday. Hubbard, who'd previously pleaded not guilty, is scheduled to be sentenced in July. Milwaukee police were able to arrest Hubbard shortly after the shooting, based on Allen's dying description of her assailant and his vehicle. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two people are dead in the Marathon County town of Easton after what's been described as a double shooting.
Officers were called to a rural home Tuesday morning after someone noticed a person sitting in a vehicle overnight with the door open, saying that they had been in the same position for hours. They discovered two people dead from gunshot wounds, a 63-year-old man and a 53-year-old woman. Evidence suggests the incident was the result of domestic violence, therefore there is no danger to the public. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high pressure is sitting over the state today and tomorrow, bringing us abundant sunshine with calmer winds. And highs today will flirt with 70, rising just a touch warmer tomorrow too. The sunshine stays with us until the weekend. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 64.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Of the carbon market is something that many growers have been looking for, and the Biden administration seems to be all in on taking the lead for defining the rules for trade. We'll get into the details. And we've got crop reports from Minnesota and Kansas in this week's Farmer Forum.
Live from Unofficial Tuesday via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Paul Niefer, the farm CPA. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Brad Nelson and Matt Splitter. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. You know what? I feel like I'm back on schedule.
Do you?
It feels like a Wednesday.
Okay, good. Good.
I'm because not sure what happened to Tuesday, but...
Well, yeah, and according to my very strict numbering system, we're only right on Tuesday here, bro. This, I don't know. What? Maybe it's Thursday.
I think it's Wednesday.
Pump day?
We got a farmer forum. We've got Brad Nelson and Matt Splitter set up and ready to go for the second half of the show. It's a farmer forum. That means it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Now, when you say farmer for them, why isn't it farmers for them? Hey, we got a farmer forum. Huh? We got a farmer for them. No?
No.
I feel like it should be plural. There's two guys.
Forum, as in gathering, as in
I feel like that's what I'm
a
saying.
Council. A council. That's not what you're saying.
I'm not getting it.
I know. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Get me out of this. That is Davis Michelson.
Yes. It is a farmer forum. Yes.
And, okay, so we are looking for clarity on the rules and regs for the carbon credit trade.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Simple.
Well, this will be an interesting show.
Simple enough. Part of the issue has been the verification process. Are you truly locking up carbon based on the changes that you are making on your production practices? Are the production practices actually being changed? The companies, there's a new term out there, greenwashing. Okay? Are they
greenwashing?
Yes. Are they overstating their commitments to the carbon reductions and just kind of overpaying for the carbon reductions that farmers may be putting in place? There's all of these things. They're all addressed in the statement that came from the Biden administration yesterday. Paul Niefer has made a living understanding documents like this. Yes. And we've got
He's an anomaly
in.
That way, that yes. Niefer.
Yes, he is. And we've got him coming on board here to help us understand it, too. Excellent. All right, let's get to the news.
Well, I'm going to start with the weather. Widespread, strong to severe storms expected again over much of Texas and southern Oklahoma tonight. Damaging winds and large hail expected. An enhanced risk has been issued. Scattered strong storms are likely across the northern and central high plains this afternoon and evening. Large hail and strong winds are the primary threats there. A slight risk, level 2 yeah. of 5, has been issued.
Yeah, there's some storms down in East Texas right now. Then you've got to get all the way. Well, there's some storms starting to develop in central Oklahoma. And then you got to get all the way up to northern Ohio to find the next area where there is the potential for some severe weather at the moment. It looks like a couple of clear days in the middle of the country, but, yeah, we'll see.
Well, Chip, stocks are sliding globally with the U.S. Dow opening around 300 points lower today as bond yields spike on fading rate cut expectations. European shares also fell with airlines among the laggards there. Yesterday, the Dow ended lower while the NASDAQ and S&P 500 finished higher. To start the holiday shortened week, stocks are all over the place right now, Chip.
Yeah, they certainly are. The Dow is off about 340 points right now.
Yep. Well, one of Wall Street's key recession indicators, the inverted yield curve, where short-term treasury yields exceed long-term yields, has been inverted for a record stretch of around 400 trading sessions. Traditionally, this is seen as a reliable sign of an impending economic downturn. This prolonged inversion has not yet resulted in a major slowdown, challenging its predictive reliability. That's interesting.
It's almost like the old models don't work, huh?
Right.
Where's yeah. this conversation happened before? We're writing new textbooks about economic recoveries from a complete and total shutdown or close to it. Yep. So that's we're learning.
Well, this is interesting too, along the same lines. Silver prices shot sharply higher yesterday and challenged the recent 11-year high. Frank Watson of Kinesis says, quote, silver's dual role as a precious and industrial metal means it has also benefited from the current environment of reasonably strong economic growth and high inflation, end quote. Chip, meanwhile, orange juice futures hit a record $4.92 a pound, nearly double from a year ago. That's driven by poor harvests in Florida and Brazil. Cash cattle averaged a record $190.09 last week, eclipsing the previous high posted in March. Cattle futures posted moderate gains yesterday, with the June contract finishing $5.54 below last week's average cash price, signaling traders anticipate a softer cash market over the next month. And finally, Iowa farmers faced severe weather last week, limiting field work to an average of 2 days. Storms brought damaging winds, nearly 30 tornadoes, and triple the usual precipitation, according to USDA. State Ag Secretary Mike Nag reports many farmers continue to face delays. Chip.
Yeah, I think the number that I saw yesterday was the state of Iowa has already seen 97 tornadoes this year.
Just this year alone.
Just this year.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Hey, good morning, Chip. I'm just going to dip my toe in here. I didn't realize how spicy you guys were going to be this morning, but I also am going to stick around and at least lurk and listen to this farmer forum because you've got some all-stars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be awesome. And they're talking about what's going on with the carbon markets. We'll get into that. But what's happening in the fertilizer markets? What are the retailers watching?
Yeah, so I just released a podcast on the Scoop podcast with Veronica Nye. She's a senior economist at the Fertilizer Institute, so she tracks this stuff every day, inside and outside. And she really had five big takeaways that I wanted to share with the audience this morning. And number one would be that we're coming down from these high spike in prices for the most part. For most across the NPK complex, we're returning to some 10-year averages. Now, there are exceptions, but I think everyone is welcoming the relief where we can find it. Number two, production is up. Notably, it's up for anhydrous ammonia. And so that's where we've seen some relief in those prices. Number three, a big takeaway from the recent history as we watch the fertilizer markets would be our import dependency and how that directly can affect both product availability as well as those price fluctuations that we've seen. Number four, natural gas, key driver for our nitrogen prices. And as we've also seen some big fluctuations there with the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And number five, just how pivotal our infrastructure is, especially as we move that anhydrous up the river to the Corn Belt.
Right, right. All right. Good stuff, Margie. The story is posted, www.thedailyscoop.com. Margie, thank you.
Thanks, Chip.
All right, Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. We are going to do our best to understand the statement from the Biden administration next. Paul Niefer.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally, AtticusLLC.com.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
We're living in the age of smart. Smartphones, smart cars. Heck, they even got smart refrigerators. And now, there's Smart Foil by Agroxy. Nah, it ain't for your kitchen. It's a biological foliar application for soybean growers. Specifically, the ones that know you gotta protect your beans at flowering if you want yield. Smart Foil reduces environmental stress, like heat and drought when it matters most, giving you better pod count and yield potential. It's the smart thing to do for your soybeans. So ask your retailer about Smart Foil by Agroxine or visit BigBeanBloom.com to learn more.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What is...
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust.
You know, I'm Davis, the way that Marty described the show, spicy.
Uh-huh. Spicy. Yeah.
Yeah. Here is the title. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Chip. That's
Hello.
Davis.
Yes.
Here's the title of the statement mm-hmm. from the Biden administration that we are going to be discussing next. Voluntary carbon markets, joint policy statement and principles.
Okay. This sounds like there should be some clarity in there.
Important? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy?
Yeah.
Let's find out just how spicy it is. Paul Niefer, Farm CPA, joins us right now. Niefer, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm not sure you bring me on to discuss this. So this you know, I'm typically a type of person that when I write paragraphs, I don't want them to be more than maybe five lines long.
Right.
And
right.
In this policy statement, there's one paragraph that's 20 lines long. There's two that are 16 lines long. There's a 15, and there's three that are 14 lines long. So I think when they put out this policy statement.
So are you saying be prepared? The thing is only 12 pages long, only. Are you saying maybe don't try to take it in all at once? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm stating. You know, what they're concerned about, and it's a valid concern, you know, you have these large publicly traded companies that have sort of been greenwashing, you know, that's the term, greenwashing their fact that they've been trying to help the climate, you know, and so they go out and buy these credits that really, really aren't very valid. You know, especially in the maybe plant a tree and then the tree burns up. So they've actually released more carbon into nature than they intended on. So they're just trying to state that really the goal for these companies should not be to, you know, buy these carbon credits. Their goal really should be to fix their own carbon footprint in their own company and in their supply chain. So that's really, I think, what this policy statement was saying. But then it said, oh, by the way, if you are going to buy these credits, we want to make sure that there's transparency, there's identification, there's documentation, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. You know, and from the very beginning, the development of the carbon markets, and I'm not saying that they aren't worthwhile. There are many farmers that have looked into it and think that this is something that they want to participate in, which is fine, which is great. Go ahead. There are others that have decided they don't want anything to do with it, which is fine, which is great. It is an individual's decision on this. The issue that I've always had is on the accounting front. How well are we really accounting for and ultimately really reducing any carbon output if a group of farmers is selling the carbon that they're sequestering to company A out there so that they can continue to do what they've always done? How much good does that really do us? And I think that's the question that they're trying to answer in this statement, correct?
Well, and also in the statement, it seems to be implying that, hey, if you're really a good farmer and you've already done a great job of you know, reducing your carbon footprint, you're not going to get a payment because you can't really reduce your carbon footprint any further. Whereas if you're a farmer maybe that hasn't done a great job, well, then, okay, we'll give you a payment because we can see in that case where we can reduce your footprint.
So, Paul, I think you're right. I think you're right, which makes me feel like this statement is addressing an issue that has the industry already moved past it and is looking more at the 40B and the 45Z credits getting paid for production practices in already in place based on a carbon intensity score. That seems to be where the focus in farm country really is, correct?
Yeah, and I think the possible payment for a farmer in that situation that is doing a good job, you know, they're utilizing no-till, they're doing cover crops, you know, they're reducing fertilizer, maybe they're applying manure instead of, you know, synthetic fertilizer, that in that situation, the farmer in that case is likely to get paid a whole lot more and up front and so on then versus maybe getting $25 or $30 or $40 an acre and having to do a lot of work and having to do a lot of paperwork. So I think you're right. I think we should be focusing in on more on the 45Z or focusing in on the carbon intensity score, not necessarily the carbon credit side of it.
Right. You know, The other feeling that I got as I was reading through this is that the administration is probably legitimately concerned about fraud in the market. The focus of the statement seems to be that proving that something real is being traded by this market. You got that feeling, right?
Yeah. They want to make sure that it's legit, that if you're buying this carbon credit, that you're actually removing permanently, well, as long as permanent is, 1 ton of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, you know. And they're almost, I think, stating, hey, instead of these carbon credits, maybe we should be trying to pump the carbon dioxide into the ground, you know, and that way we can permanently remove it versus, like I say, you know, if you plant a tree out in the forest and the tree burns up, you know, that's released a whole lot more carbon in the atmosphere than was originally intended. So I just lose. Never mind. I won't say what I'm really thinking.
Well, why not? Why not? You know what, Niefer, a couple of times you have mentioned the trees. There does seem, I'm thinking farming. I'm thinking row crop farmer. It is what is in my head. But this applies to the forestry industry as well.
Well, certainly the carbon credit industry is focused in on forest land because it's a lot larger scale. They're able to create a market that's a whole lot easier for them to administer. They're dealing with one company that owns 300,000 acres of forest. They only have to deal with one company. For them to get 300,000 acres of cropland, you know, they're going to deal with, 300 farmers, 400 farmers, 500 farmers, plus landlords and so on. So that's really been, I think, the focus of the carbon market people out there that are trying to make this as a living or as a business, is that it's been much easier for them to deal with the timberland owners than farmers. So I think that's been certainly the reality.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the statement was signed by six leaders in the administration: Yellen at Treasury, Vilsack at USDA, Granholm at Energy, Podesta, Brainard, Zaidi. They are definitely trying to give the impression that the administration is all in on the carbon market rules and regs with this statement and everybody signing on, right?
Yeah, I didn't even realize we had a national climate advisor. Is that a new part of the administration that I wasn't aware of?
There they are, right? Let's see, who is that? The National Climate Advisor is
Zaidi. Wasn't John Kerry the climate czar there for a while? Didn't we have a czar for a minute?
Yeah. So as he tootles across the world in his private jet.
Right. Crazy. But, crazy.
I think their intent was you know, they had good intentions, but this policy, it's not really a policy. It's just, I don't know what it is. Like I say, it's so dense. It's a statement saying, hey, we wish that you guys would actually clean up your supply chain versus going out and buying these credits.
Right. Exactly. Okay. We've only got 30 seconds left, so I'm just going to mention this. Make sure that you are reading Paul's blog every week, every day, when he puts one out. His last one was on the new payment limitation process in the House Farm Bill. Before that, he was looking at some of the amendments in the Farm Bill coming out of the House Ag Committee. What are you working on for next here, Paul?
I am getting ready to work on some tax related stuff. So, you know, I'm always talking either taxes or farm bill or anything related to ag. So again, that's at farmcpareport.com.
Farmcpareport.com. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Paul Niefer, Farm CPA podcast and blog. Make sure that you check it out. Coming up next, we got the Farmer Forum. Brad Nelson from Minnesota, Matt Splitter from Kansas.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk up 1 to 1948, July up 19 to 1981, August up 17 to 1981, while September up 16 at 1974. Live and feeder cattle markets continue to move up mostly lower today. The market's lacking sufficient support to keep trading higher. Trades also wrestling with the crop progress report that showed the crop planting progress is at or above average. Hog markets moving mostly lower. Still not enough support, even though some of the pork cutout values have been higher, but not enough support to justify moving markets sharply higher. June live cattle down 95 cents to 183.60. August feeder cattle down 372 to 260.87. June hogs up 2 cents to 93.82. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving up mostly lower. Again, planting progress is at or above the five-year average, and that's helping to pressure corn and beans. A drop in soybean meal also pressuring the bean markets today. Wheat markets are also moving mostly lower. A lack of fresh bullish fundamental news. While there will be rain to slow the wheat harvest in the southern plains, northern plains are receiving beneficial rains to finish the wheat crop. New crop corn down 5 3/4 to 479.5. New crop beans down 12 1/4 to 1198 1/4. July wheat down 10.5.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It's Wednesday. That means it is time for the Farmer Forum. And joining us right now, Brad Nelson, up in southeast Minnesota, just up the road around Albert Lea. Brad, welcome back, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Glad you're here. You've been getting some of the same rains that we've been getting in northeast Iowa, haven't you?
Yeah, we have been getting our fair share of rain. It hasn't been as much as what, you know, Iowa's gotten by any stretch, I don't think. I mean, we've gotten 6 inches of rain in May, and we had 5 inches of rain in April. So, I mean, we're plenty wet, but it hasn't been overwhelming. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. What's it done to the planting pace?
But nobody's. Well, that was another thing. We had about 2 windows to plant. Well, 3 if you count way back on the 10th of April, which I didn't take advantage of that. I planted from the 23rd to the 25th of April, and then I planted, I just can't remember the exact date, but I finished up basically 2 weeks ago. I started planting beans 2 weeks ago today and finished up, you know, the next Sunday. And so we had that week to plant, and then it turned out we had the next Monday after I finished up the plant, and then it's been too wet since. I've seen 1 field planted since then. So
wow.
There's a lot of bean fields around here that need to be planted yet. So, and we're wet this weekend again now too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You all know, right. And corn looks.
Go ahead.
Corn looks okay. You know, there's places where it's weak, even where I got pattern tile fields, it's strong over the tile lines and weak in between. Mm. And you know, and where there is a real lack of tile, and there's different hybrids have responded differently to that, and some have survived better than others, and some are weak, you know, in those areas. And you know, it's just going to be one of those years where you don't have 100% of the crop you might have had if it all come up even, and you know, with no bare spots or stand loss. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it sounds kind of very similar to the conditions that we're looking at here in Northeast Iowa. We've got a fair amount of pounding down here too, Brad. When you go along 380 and along Highway 20 in Eastern Iowa, there's a lot of ponds out there. Have you got those?
I do not have ponds on our ground around here, and there's not a lot in my area.
Good.
You go over to Maurer County, you know, last week they had a 5-incher, you know, so I'm sure they have ponds over there from that. And you go west here, I was just talking to a local retailer a little bit that has territory over there too, and they're wetter over there too. So, you know, I guess there's ponds in parts of Minnesota, but not right where I'm at anyway.
Right. Okay. Just a reminder to everyone, Brad was... And correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but you were right on the western edge of a spot in Minnesota that was just bone dry for the second half of the season last year, right?
Oh, we were very dry last year, We were really dry all winter. Actually, unheard of. Had a farm tile this. They started in February and finished it up the first week of March, for Pete's sake, you know.
Jeez.
That's never happened in my lifetime before. And when they were digging holes and running lines, you know, there was no water in that ground at all. You know, there's some attached to the soil particles, but there was no excess going into the trenches. And, you know, the tile had been running hard now for 6 weeks, I'd say, though. So we've been full of water for quite a while now.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Brad, stay there. We'll get back to you here in just a bit. Matt Splitter in Kansas. Matt, welcome back to the Farmer Forum on AgriTalk, man. How you doing?
Doing good, hey, Chip. Good to talk to you as always.
Yeah, good to talk with you. Different situation over in your part of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, I really don't understand what you guys are complaining about. We can't buy rain. We're in central Kansas. You know, the western two-thirds of Kansas is in a D2 up to a D3 drought. I was just doing some numbers this morning, and since March 1 on the north side of our farm, which is in southern Ellsworth County, so it would be about 45 miles west of Salina, we've had 3.37 inches of rain since March 1st, and 1.94 inches was one event on May 19th, which means we had less than 1 inch of rain from the March 1st to May 19th.
Yeah. Yeah. Good grief. How's the wheat crop holding up?
You know, if you really look at Kansas and split it into thirds, from about the I-135 corridor west is where a majority of the hard red winter wheat is raised, and it is taking the brunt of this drought. And, you know, it's not like it's a flash drought. You know, we're in year four of just way below normal precipitation. I remember talking to you in Nashville, a top producer.
Yep.
And it was 2022 going into 2023, and everybody was so pessimistic. And I said, you know, Chip, it can't get worse than 2022. And here we are going into 2024, and it's just gotten worse. You know, our wheat crop, we went through the winter looking pretty good, looking really good, and then just no rain in its peak growing period. You know, I think it's going to be a short crop. I really think that across the whole state, it'll be a short crop. And even on our farm, you know, we'll be anywhere from 20% of average to right at our APH across the farm. So.
All right.
It's looking pretty bad.
Yep. Okay. All right. What about grassland in your part of the world, Matt? Have you is there anything to report on pasture conditions?
Yeah, since the Flint Hills have actually done really good catching some rains. So all the grass over in the eastern part of Kansas and the Flint Hills really look pretty dang good. You get into that central, the Rolling Hills area, and it's taken a little bit, but it's greened up. Our temperatures have actually been pretty mild, and the moisture that we have had is really gone to good use in the grass for sure. So the cattlemen are actually probably feeling pretty good about the grass situation,
right,
where they're really a lot of negativity is around ponds. There's ponds that are dry. They're hauling water again already to summer pastures. So it's we're set up for another stressful summer for the cattle.
Another long summer hauling water for the cattlemen out there is what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. But yep. You know, the silver lining is we're looking at, you know, possibly a 1 to 3 inch rainfall event over the next 3 days. And, I mean, it is much needed, and I'm going to be doing cartwheels in the yard if I see this rain actually come to fruition. So.
Praying and doing rain dances all at the same time, aren't you?
We're trying, Chip. Anything we can do.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Brad, with some of the water issues that you've had to deal with up there, is anything showing up as far as weed control? You mentioned some of the varied development of the corn crop out there, but is anything else on the crop protection side that is starting to show up?
I haven't seen weedy fields too much. We were able to get our pre's on. I mean, some of it was not particularly fit when I was out spraying them, but we got them all on. But there's a few weeds coming here and there, and I mean, I want to spray my corn hopefully tomorrow if I can get my product in place, because it's going to get wet for, you know, 5 more days. And so I'd like to get it done tomorrow, but we'll see what happens, you know. But it's, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, it's not going to get done as timely as what they'd like because it's just going to be wet, you know. This coming weekend would be a prime spraying time for corn. The earlier plant of corn is probably 5-6 inches tall now, and we get 70-80 degree weather next week, you know, it'll be a foot tall in no time. So
yeah, that's
now's
right.
The time I want to get it done. So, and there's some weeds out there that you just as well get when they're little instead of when they're big, you know. So
yep. What about bugs?
It's not terrible. Okay, good.
What about bugs? We've been hearing that some of the bug populations are coming on earlier than what they normally would because of the warm temperatures that we had in April. Is there anything happening in the area?
I have not heard or seen anything at this point yet.
Good.
They talked some about cutworms in some, you know, areas, but I haven't seen them right around me. And you know, I think rootworm could be a lot more of a problem as time rolls along here if you didn't put protection down for it because of the mild winter and the mild spring and that sort of thing. I think that probably is going to be a lot of activity with those pests because there's a lot of beetles there around crop tour time last year around here. So
it's terrible thick up in that part of the world, Brad. And the impact on yield potential is starting to show up in kind of a big way, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, and a number of years ago before we had rootworm-protected corn, I had a outbreak on my farm on rotated crops, you know, 50-50 rotation at that time of corn and soybeans, and I got rootworm in my corn, and shoot, it was my early years of yield monitors, and it was 50 bushel loss, so.
Right, right.
In those areas where it would be bad, you know, let alone the lot.
Okay. We've got a farmer forum going with Brad Nelson up in southeast Minnesota, Matt Splitter in Kansas. That's our crop reports. When we come back, I want to talk about what's going their thoughts about these carbon programs and carbon credit markets. We'll discuss that next here on the Farmer Forum.
Retirement. At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is our season. And we're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops and head to your local cafe on May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is our season. And we're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops and head to your local cafe on May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
A smooth, close Barbasol shave in the morning lifts your confidence. That rich, creamy lather will catapult you to greatness. Nothing can stop you today. Well, except that traffic jam. Barbasol, it's a can of can-do.
Kyle Owen is the VP of Digital Agronomy there at Ever.ag. Kyle, digital agronomy. Talk to me about that. What is it?
We fit in our Fidelytics platform under the digital agronomy name, but really we're looking at all things digital ag. And really we like to call it an ag operations platform that fits under that digital ag. So anything from precision to dispatching to farm planning, even with our new acquisition of Adaptim with nitrogen model, in-season insights, things like that, all fits under this digital ag umbrella.
Fantastic. Now, who are your customers and what's the group that you're talking to?
We are servicing the service providers, so that's going to be ag retailers, consultants, anyone that is working directly with the grower is our customer.
Excellent. Talk about changing line of communications out there between the retailer and the farmer and so on. It's something to try to keep up with, isn't it?
It is, and you know that's where we're trying to provide these tools that have those digital interactions. I know we're never going to take away that relationship part of ag, having those phone calls or those text messages, but being able to have digital tools to communicate at any time with those growers to understanding applications and prescriptions and all those digital things that are happening on their fields and having that open communication to help that grower be more successful.
Perfect. Kyle, ultimately, what is it that you're looking to accomplish at Ever.ag with the digital agronomy services that you're offering?
Yeah, so it's how do we help our customer, the service provider, be more successful and look more successful in the eyes of their growers or their customers? How do we streamline all the data points and softwares that they're using into one solution?
Perfect. Where can listeners go for more information, Kyle?
please come to our website, ever.ag.
Perfect. That is Kyle Owen. He is the VP of Digital Agronomy at ever.ag.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good. But always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
All right, let's get back to the Farmer Forum. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of the conversation with Brad Nelson from Minnesota, Matt Splitter from Kansas. We had Paul Niefer on here talking about the statement on voluntary carbon markets, VCMs. It was released by the Biden administration yesterday. We kind of discussed what was the main goal or the what seems to be the intended purpose of the statement. Brad, I want to start with you. Have you been looking into participating or are you participating in a carbon credit market?
I haven't spent one second of time looking into it or thinking about participating. How's that for you?
Says it pretty straightforward right there, Brad. Why not?
Well, number of reasons. Back in the, 2007, 8, 9, 10 probably, I no-till beans. I bought a no-till drill, which I still have. Yep. And I went that route trying to think that that would be a good way to go, you know. And my bean yield suffered. And I mean, you maybe saved a little money, but you lost revenue. And it's a typical 5-bushel hit around here in soybean yield, at least. And, you know, I don't want to give up that revenue. And number two, carbon is plant food. And there's a lot of trees. There's a lot of corn. There's a lot of soybeans. They use carbon. We need it. It's only 0.04% of the atmosphere, and the plants need it. And I just think it's all a big bunch of baloney. And the third reason would be when
they're willing to pay. They're willing to pay you $25 an acre to change the way that you farm. Isn't that enough?
So what is 5 bushel of beans? What's 5 bushel of beans at $12?
I hear you.
You know? That's 3-4 times the amount of revenue, you know. And when they're willing to, when the administration's willing to show me their 81 million votes, then I might be willing to listen, too.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Good work. Matt, what about you? Have you taken a look at the carbon markets?
We're always looking at all the markets that are out there, but I've probably spent less time on it than most people. They're just not a very good fit for our program. And I've said it publicly before, is that part of these carbon programs, sustainability programs, any program relies on a cultural practice change.
Yep.
And in Kansas, especially central Kansas, we're no-till already. We've got fields that have been no-till since the 80s.
Yep.
And they want you to introduce a new cultural practice. But what the heck, what other practice am I going to add? You know, we've toyed around with cover crops in our area, but we're, like I said earlier, we're in a drought. So I'm going to give up the moisture through the spring raising a cover crop. So I have no moisture for the revenue based crops that keep the cash going.
Yeah. You know,
it's that none of the programs that we've looked at are beneficial. And I, frankly, I think they're kind of a joke and kind of going against, it really goes against the principle of the program. You know, what they're wanting to see is what they consider good farming practices. Why aren't they rewarding the guys that have been doing it for 20, 30 years?
Right.
You know, and yep. We're the ones that are setting the standard and then not getting a reward for
what this is a fascinating conversation. I mean, we've got two people, two different parts of the world or the country, two different farming practices with two different reasons on why they're not really all that interested in these carbon products. It is a prime example of why there is a lot of work to do if they want to make this carbon credit programming something that's going to work out in the countryside. They just got a whole lot of work to do. So Matt, what else is on your mind?
It's almost impossible to do a one size fits all program. That's
right.
I still am a glass half full kind of guy. You know, so we're not seeing the rainfall that we need to get through, you know, to be sustainable at this point. You know, markets have come back up. We're operating in potentially profitable margins again. Fertilizer prices are down. Input prices are down. You know, one thing that's really on my mind is we've got a great group of employees that, you know, it's really encouraging to see people buy into agriculture, not just our farm, but be passionate about the industry. And it's really energizing to come to go out to the shop every day and be around a bunch of people who are excited about agriculture.
And yeah,
it's going to be a fun summer, whether we get rain or not. It should be a heck of a lot better to get some rain, but you know, it's just going to be a fun.
Dude, I want video. If you're out there actually doing cartwheels, I want video of that. Okay.
Yeah, I got to learn how to blur the image a little bit. No, it's going to be. If it rains, Chip, I'm going to send you a text, and you know.
Yeah.
Blast it all over Twitter. Let's go.
Yep, I hear you. Brad, not a whole lot of time left here, about 45 seconds, but what's on your mind? What else are you thinking about?
Well, you know, you just got to be thankful for living in the part of the country that, you know, whether it's where Matt lives or where I live, that you have, you know, wide open space. You work with Mother Nature, or whether she's friendly or wicked, you know, and it's fun working with my son and that sort of thing too. So
yeah, outstanding. You know,
can't beat John Fogerty on his 79th birthday either.
There you go. Outstanding. Good call, man. Good call. All right, you guys, thank you so much for being part of the Farmer Forum today. We really appreciate it, and you guys making time. That's Brad Nelson up in southeast Minnesota, Matt Splitter out in central Kansas. Hey, thank you for spending a little bit of time with us this morning. Come back this afternoon. We are going to have a conversation with Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading right here on AgriTalk.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is our season. And we're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops and head to your local cafe on May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 100.